Hello and welcome to episode 1292 of The Sleeper and the Bust. It is Friday, May 3rd. I'm your host, Paul Spore, joined this morning by Justin Mason. Justin, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Not too bad. We're on the opposite ends here, though, where I'm the tired one and you got some sleep last night. Now, granted, you're still the one getting up at 6, so, I know it's a tougher lift for you, but I went to the movies yesterday, watched Challengers, got home a little late, got kind of that late start, late to bed. But hey, I'm ready to talk two-star pitchers. How's your week going? Fantasy going all right for you? Any bad moves, any good moves that you pulled on Sunday?
It was a pretty quiet Sunday for me.
Same.
I grabbed like a couple like just cheaper guys. I didn't really go crazy for anybody in particular. I'm really kind of being smart about my fab so far this year, kind of waiting to seeing how my team kind of shapes up and what my team needs are, as opposed to like, oh, this guy's a big guy, I should go get him right now. So I'm doing the Scott Genstead approach, right? The like kind of spray and pray a little bit, use my fab a little bit more wisely and hope that some of my like, $15-$20 buys, pop off.
Times those are key.
Yeah. And I think often we end up, I spent $300 on Ellie last year.
Yeah.
On
Yuri Perez.
And it was a great pickup. I needed that pickup, but at the same time, it also hamstrung me at the end of the season where like, I did not have the money to make other pickups that I also needed. So I'm trying to be a little bit smarter and kind of waiting for at least if I know I have a deficiency somewhere, like I got a couple leagues where speed is a deficiency, like I may pop off on someone. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm trying to play it a little bit safe and not go crazy. I think people tend to be a little aggressive, partially because they get players for the length of the season if they pop off.
True.
But also just because people like being aggressive and it's all like, I want to win this. I want to be a guy. Like,
get the guy.
Yeah. I got to spend my, excitement. I got all this money.
Yep.
And then in August, they're like, oh no, I have $17 to make it through the next 6 weeks.
Last 4 weeks, I haven't done anything over 50 for an individual player. So, also been just kind of sitting back a little bit, not trying to get too crazy. Because you have to have some down weeks, especially if you're going to be in on some of the higher end guys there. You'd be nice and you'd be excited to be in one of my leagues where Jacob Young is available, 12 steals, but only he's 98% rostered. So I got to be one of what maybe two leagues that he's even available in running wild for the Nats right now. But yeah, I've also been playing it chill, not going too crazy. I'm not going to force it, right? Like, there is like a top guy each week, but the top guy doesn't always deserve the same bid. So 1 week's top guy might be a $32 guy, and then another week's top guy might be $300. So it can vary. I've been trying to play it chill as well. But let's talk some two-star guys. We got a pretty decent group here. Few guys that are on the list specifically to check in on them. Not so much because I wouldn't start them or really think you need to make that decision, but I want to just see where you're at with them. And this first guy might be one of those, but I am kind of curious where you're at on our boy Frankie Montas out there in Cincinnati. He's going to have Arizona and at San Francisco coming off the IL. So that's another thing to consider is that he's coming off the IL. Had been pitching up and down, like the 4.19 ERA, you're not too upset about. 1.45 WHIP, definitely upset about. 5% strikeout minus walk, definitely upset about. It was really a couple duds before he ended up going out. Milwaukee and Seattle really clobbered him after two great starts. So two up, two down, and then the 1/2 of an inning where he left early because he got hit by a comebacker. So that's kind of where we're at on Frankie Montas. Are you starting him off the IL, Arizona at San Francisco?
Probably not. I don't love starting guys straight off the IL unless they're a stud.
True studs.
And I've seen them throw a lot of innings, or or at least a bulk innings in the minors and the rehab assignments. So Montas is not a stud. He pitches in Cincinnati. which is just a scary place to pitch. And that is the easier start of the two. The harder start is at Arizona. Wait, no. Sorry.
Home to Arizona. Home to Arizona.
I might be willing if it's like a daily lineups league to like do the San Francisco one. I don't want to do the Arizona one in Cincinnati. Like
I totally agree. We haven't seen enough from Montas.
No.
Let him come off the IL here, take the two step on the bench, see what's what. Hopefully it breeds some confidence for beyond.
Yeah.
And then you can start to feel like, okay, now I can trust him again. Cause those first two starts were like, hey, let's go. And you know,
problem is he's still throwing 93. Like,
yeah.
I know it's not a forearm issue. Like we usually worry about forearm issues. It was from the comebacker and stuff,
yeah.
But like the fact that he is not gotten the velocity even back to like 95, 94, like that is very concerning for me that he just isn't the same guy anymore.
I've also got some bad news on Montas.
Yeah.
He lines up for the Dodgers the following week.
Yeah. So I think not using him on the wire.
Yeah. Like leave him on the wire if that's where he is. And yeah, I'm nervous here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm doing this. And I might even cut this weekend. Like if you held through the, and this is deep league only, 12s and 10s, you were off the Montas train, hopefully a while ago.
Yeah.
But if in a 15, if you kind of held through and thought, you know, maybe there's something here with Montas, I would cut right now because you don't want him for the next three starts and you might as well utilize that roster spot on somebody else. So that's where I'm at with him. Let's go to Cleveland. And they got a pair of guys going and they're both difficult to decide. However, the matchup gods are smiling with a really hot Detroit at White Sox two-step. You know, Detroit's been playing well, but it's not the offense, right? Every once in a while, they'll spike a decent day, but that offense is one to be picked upon. And then, of course, the White Sox is you know, the best start you can get right now. Let's start with McKenzie first. He's been kind of up and down since we learned about the UCL tear. Obviously, that scares a bunch of people. Has he been doing enough for a Detroit White Sox for you?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I think anytime you use McKenzie from here until he gets Tommy John surgery is going to be stressful. like you said, like the bad numbers and the really bad underlying numbers, FIP and XFIP or like over five, like those were really from the first few starts of the season. Like since then, he's actually been pretty good.
It's great last time out. McKenzie was awesome in Houston.
Yeah, like went seven innings, struck out six. Like, so I think you have to just kind of roll with them and close your eyes and pray. Like these are too good of matchups to kind of pass up. You know, the two-start episode, we really focus in on the short term. In the short term, yeah, I'm rolling with him. Long term, I am scared. Like, I am just...
Agreed.
I'm absolutely petrified.
That's exactly where I'm at with McKenzie. I think if you've got him, you got to go for this. I think this is pick-up-able, too, in the shallower format.
Oh, absolutely.
To take the shot. Like, eyes wide open, there is risk because if his arm is off, then McKenzie can get beat up even by these teams. But he's looking good lately. Or just
leave after two-thirds of an inning.
Yeah, you might end up getting three combined innings.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at these last three starts, excellent at Houston, decent at versus Boston. Only two runs in four innings. It was the four innings that was kind of a bummer. And then five innings, one run against Oakland. So you got three gems. You got two great matchups. Tristan McKenzie, we're starting him. But I agree with you. It's a week-to-week situation with him.
Yeah.
What about Logan Allen? Things have not been going quite as well there. 5.11 ERA. The recent starts have been blah. Every start's just kind of blah. It's four or five innings and then three to five runs. And so there you go. 5.11 ERA, 1.41 whip. Is this enough for you to jump on the Logan Allen train too?
He's just never shown the strikeout stuff that he showed in the minor leagues. Like he just never has. Like, he allows too much contact in the zone. He can't get guys to chase out of it. That being said, like again, these are really great matchups. So, like in a deeper league, I'm probably rolling with him. Because
you can get there in a 12 with Logan Allen?
Maybe a deeper 12.
It's streamable, right? Like, it's streamable.
He might be on the wire in a 12. He probably should be on the wire in a 12. So, like, if I'm looking at the rest of my matchups on my team that I have and I go, oh, I don't like this one, or, you know, hey, this is, you know, a mediocre one start versus Logan Allen's two good starts, I might lean that way. But I think there's a lot of risk here. He has gotten unlucky. You know, the XERA is 438, but it's not like 438 is great, especially in a 12. True. So, like, being like, oh, look, he's unlucky, you know, 511 ERA, a 438 XERA, like, that doesn't make him good.
It's to like a minor degree that Logan Allen can get a little bit better. But these are the kind of teams that he can get better against. So I think, you know, if you're streaming, this is what you're looking for, the ultimate Detroit and at the White Sox with a moderately talented arm that has some upside. I think you go for this. There's a reason he's available, though, right? There is risk. I just want to stress that definitely some risk.
His worst run of the season was against the White Sox. So, like that's... Scary. Like that, it is scary, but like, yeah, in a 15, I don't know how you're getting away from it just because the matchups are so good. In Agreed. A 12, it's a maybe. I tend to lean towards no, but it is a maybe.
Yeah, always depends who's available. I can get there in a 12, mostly just 15 for me with Logan Allen. All right, Justin Verlander is the one I wanted to check in on, right? Because obviously deep leagues, you got him, you're starting him. I think that's probably the case for 12s as well. But I want to talk more in the 10-12 realm because Justin Verlander is not fully himself. He's got 2.8 ERA, or 2.08, and a 1.15 whip, but a 4.35 FIP, right? So letting you know that the skills are just not what Justin Verlander usually delivers. His strikeout rate is down here at 19% with a 10% walk rate. So that's what I mean. Like, the results are there. You're starting him in deep leagues pretty easily because, you know, he's still Justin Verlander. But through these three starts, he's been maybe getting better results than he deserves. He gets a trip to the Yankees and the Tigers. So one up, one down. Where are you at with Justin Verlander in shallow leagues? The name value says start all the time, but the stats say maybe not. Are you comfortable with Verlander in shallower formats?
I am. There's not much in the profile from the last few years. Obviously, we don't want to like look at peak Verlander numbers, but like if you're just looking from like the last 2 years or prior to this one, like there's not a ton in the numbers that go like he's not kind of the same guy. He's just a guy who knows how to pitch, and I think that yes, the skills have obviously degraded. He's not the player he used to be. Like, that doesn't mean he's not good still. You know, like, I mean, Kyle Hendricks never really had great skills, or at least flashy skills. And he was a top 25 pitcher for a number of years. So, like, I think Verlander is just kind of in his Kyle Hendricks era, which means at some point it may fall apart. But, like, yeah, like, I have zero real concerns about Verlander until we start to see him not be able to command things or not being able to control things. And yeah, I mean, right now he has been able to kind of do that for the most part. The control hasn't been as great, but it's not like out of this world bad or anything like that. And strikeouts are down, but still get strikeouts. And
Justin Verlander. I like the way you framed it. Like, he's in his Kyle Hendricks era where he is more finesse, kind of living on the wire. There'll be an occasional bad start, but I think you got to ride with it. You know, it might be at the Yankees here, but hopefully he would then rebound against his old guys in Detroit. So yeah, I think you're still riding with him. I just want to check in because like the name value is there, but there is that disconnect between the ERA and the ERA indicators. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I hate, like, when people use name value to be like, you know, like, yeah, you got to start him. It's name value and stuff like that. But, like, Justin Verlander is and always has been just, like, this unicorn that, like...
Exactly. Like, you don't want to do it blindly if a guy is clearly failing in front of you, but even the lesser Verlander version here is still performing, is your point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm with you there. Don't just always ride name value, but in this case, the unicorn Verlander going to treat you pretty well, even in the shallower formats. Seth Lugo, because he's not missing bats, and so maybe there's like a little trepidation there. I think still belongs on a list like this for shallow leagues. Again, in deep leagues, of course you got to. You know, he's got a 160 ERA and a 102 whip. But he does have a 432 Sierra and a 343 FIP. So a couple ERA indicators are quite a bit higher than that 160 ERA. Is it as simple as he's riding hot, Seth Lugo, with this brilliant ERA and whip, you got to start him? Or do you have a little bit more concern in the shallower formats? He gets Milwaukee and at the Angels. Seth Lugo, where you at?
I'm not concerned. I'm actually really intrigued by Seth Lugo, especially if you start to like look at what he's done over his last two starts. He's gone seven innings in both of them. He's had 8 and 9 strikeouts respectively.
Yep.
Like he's still not walking guys. The zone contact is down. I mean, it's still higher than you necessarily want from a guy who can get strikeouts. So I don't think like regularly going to see 8 or 9 strikeouts in outings, but like, he is a like old school innings eater kind of dude that can just plow through innings, gets out of, you know, jams, is good park to pitch in, great division to pitch in. These matchups don't scare me. You were talking about a Troutless Angels team, and Milwaukee is a good team, but
are they still Yelichless? Has he come back?
I think they are. I don't believe
he's I'm looking real quick. Okay. Yelich is still on the IL. Yeah, strained lower back. So a Yelichless. And you know, they're pretty good without him still. I'm not saying that they don't bring anything, but a Troutless Angels is really good.
Yeah, these aren't matchups I'm running away from. Like I think Lugo is a full go. Like when I write up my 2-start article today, he will probably be either in the should start or the must start tier.
Yeah, I'm with that. Again, sparkling numbers, just want to check under the hood, make sure you're still good with Seth Lugo in those shallower formats. Couple of Angels, Tyler Anderson going to Pitt and hosting Kansas City. Tyler Anderson, is he a thing again? Where are we at?
You know, like I didn't do a bold predictions article. I really, really wanted to because I was like there were certain bold predictions where I had in my head. Or like I talked about on a podcast, so I'm like, I need this on paper. Like I want this locked in. Yeah. You know, like, cause I know somewhere and I have no idea where it was, but I made a bold prediction on a podcast. It might've been Podapalooza that Tyler Anderson would be a top 50 starter. And my whole rationale was, listen, I don't think he forgot how to pitch. Like, and I don't think he's ever going to be a top 20 guy again, but like he can't be this bad, right? Like, you know, and so I wish I had drafted him more. I did pick him up in a number of leagues. It's hard to completely buy in on this, but Tyler Anderson's also one of those guys because like the ERA is 2.23. The xERA is 4.72.
Yeah.
So like he's clearly gotten extremely lucky, and I don't expect him to like have a sub 3 ERA the rest of the way, but Tyler Anderson's always a guy, as the Welsh and Bogman would say, beat his FIP. Like he's always a guy that kind of beats the underlying numbers because he's not relying on like blowing people away with like overpowering them. You know, he's another one of these kind of finesse guys. Right now it's working fairly well. Mm-hmm. I do think that is a high wire act that he's probably going to fall off on, but I'm probably using him in – I'm definitely using him in 15s this week. I think I'm using him in a fair amount of 12s. Like, if I had the decision between Logan Allen and Tyler Anderson, I'm probably going Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm getting there, too, with Anderson. Man, Allen versus Anderson, the matchups versus the better performer.
Yeah.
I think
the math says you should go Logan Allen, but because you should attack the matchups. But
I kind of like both. Obviously, you don't always have the option to start both, so I'm not just trying to cop out there. If I have to go with one, I think I do lean Allen. Because 91% left on base rate, 194 BABIP for Anderson is, like you said, a high wire act. But I think they're both considerable, even as low as 10s. Like, you know, they're streamable options this week. Both of them are. Let's bring in Patrick Sandoval then too. He gets the at Pittsburgh home to KC. Is he doing anything that that brings you on board for this two-step?
Oh man, Patrick Sandoval is just a perpetual tease.
Like, he really is. 10Ks last time out. Like, hey guys, come back in. Perfect time for a two-step, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just trying to drag you in. And the underlying numbers are like the opposite of Tyler Anderson, which is like he's got this massive ERA, even more massive whip. But the underlying numbers are like, hey, 382 xERA, a 317 FIP, you know, like a CRF 383. Like, he should be much better, right?
Yep. He's the, like you said, he is the exact inverse of Anderson. He's got the great numbers, but the bad indicators. Sandoval has the strong indicators with the bad surface stats.
The problem is he allows so much contact. Like,
I know. And both these teams, you know, Pittsburgh has kind of come back down a bit while KC is still playing well. But both these teams are, you know, don't just go off the name value. Even Pittsburgh in their lesser state is still better than normal Pittsburgh. And then KC, of course, is just good right now. 19-13, a team you don't want to necessarily attack. I love Sandoval, but I'm nervous. I'm scared of
this. The 169 whip. The 169 whip is super concerning for me. Like, I just have a really hard time blowing up my whip. Like, he may not blow up your ERA, but he is most definitely going to blow up your whip. Like,
he could do that even in a good game. Just the way Sandoval pitches, give you that like 160 whip, still only give up two runs or something. So, yeah, you have to be mindful of that. That's tough.
I'm probably not starting here, not against these teams. Like, I
can get there in 15s for Sandy.
Yeah, in 15s, you may not have another choice, but in a 10 or a 12, I don't think there's any way I get there.
Yep, that's where I'm at with Patrick Sandoval. Walker Buehler coming off the IL. Miami and at San Diego. Is he studly enough that it's just automatically in with Walker Buehler, or do you want to see a little something?
I think the combination of just his own studliness, the combination of the Dodgers overall studliness, and then you add in the fact that you get a Miami start, I think, like, you probably are rolling him out there. Like, he scares the crap out of me. Like, I did not draft him anywhere. The only place I got him is in a keeper league, where I'll probably be looking to trade him at some point to further rebuild. But I don't think there's any universe in which you're leaving Walker Buehler on your bench in any format here.
I think I agree. Even if I got to try to steal a win or two with some crappy ratios, right? Like, like you said, the awesomeness of the Dodgers.
You could give up seven and still get, you know, still get a dub. Like, I mean, like,
the Dodgers goodness is pretty much enough for me to dive in. So I am going to go with Buehler right off the IL, even though
you're going to get strikeouts and, like, you know, you're going to get wins. So, like, I don't know what the
ERA is. At least one. You should get least the Miami win, and then San Diego, we'll see. And then, as good as Buehler can be, it's very much in the cards to have just two great starts and two wins. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm putting him in. He's too good of a player. If I sat this long, especially if we're talking NFBC universe, where I've been holding him, I'm not saying this is the best thought process, but I'm kind of like, you know, he owes me. I've been riding this spot for a few weeks now. I'm going to put him in right away. So, yep, I'm going for it, and we'll see how it goes with Walker Buehler. What about Braxton Garrett, also coming off the IL? I believe he's facing Buehler. He's definitely facing the Dodgers. He is facing Buehler, so they're going to go head-to-head. So he gets the opposite situation. What do you think about Garrett?
I love Braxton Garrett.
And I know you do.
There was a league, because he was supposed to come back this week, and so there was a league where I put him in my lineup, like, hey, look. And then, like, I was like, oh, no.
He gets Dodgers, Philly, too. He gets
two. There's no tough way starts. I'm starting. Like I said earlier on, we were talking about Montas. Like, I do not love starting guys coming off the IL, especially if they're not, like, studs. And while I do think Braxton Garrett may be a stud at some point, he is definitely not a stud yet. And at the Dodgers, then versus Philly, like, are not starts that I want to put most of my pitchers.
Exactly. So that, like, yeah, that's the thing. Healthy, regular guys, I'm tepid about this, let alone someone off the IL.
Yeah, I would question this with, like, a guy just outside of the top 30. Brax Garrett's not even close to the top 30 at this moment.
Yep, totally agree. Don't want this. I want Braxton Garrett. I would even roster him. Like, if he's available, I would roster in reserve. Skip the two-step, see how it goes, and then revisit the following week with him. What about Bryce Wilson? Goes to Kansas City and hosts St. Louis. Both he and Colin Ray do that. Is Bryce Wilson doing anything for you? To be honest, I don't really know his numbers, so I put him on the list. Wasn't sure if he's even good enough.
Bad. Okay. So far he has a 3 flat ERA, a 1 flat whip.
Okay.
Not striking out a ton of guys, but it's not like 17% strikeout rate. It's 23%. The problem is he gives up lots of home runs. And those home runs tend to be a problem. He's got a 217 BABIP. The xFIP is, all right, let's not do the xFIP because we don't want to neutralize the home runs because that's his problem. Using the FIP, he's got a 455 FIP. So I see this going poorly, even though, like, St. Louis isn't a bad matchup at this point in the season. I think in 15s, you probably roll with it, but Kansas City scares me. And St. Louis, like, there's part of me, it's like, at some point they figure out that they're supposed to be good. Like, I think, let's hope. Right? Like,
yeah, I think we'll get there with that.
You know, I don't know if the team just all aged together, but, like, I don't know what the hell is going on in St. Louis. But that being said, I don't think Bryce Wilson is a strong enough pitcher, just generally speaking, to maintain what he's been doing. I think this is a good little regression week. So I'm probably doing my best to avoid Bryce Wilson.
Okay, I think that makes some sense. Like you said, he has been doing some things that are positive, but probably not enough to necessarily get there.
It's like an 8% swinging strike rate. Like, it's, you know, like, yeah, people just haven't squared him up yet. I think they will.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. What about Colin Ray? Is he doing anything better that you feel more confident in with him? Or is it also a sit with him, Kansas City, home to St. Louis for Colin Ray?
Man, Colin Ray was, I watched his last start and I was actually really impressed by him.
He's also got positive results right now too.
Yeah.
Even lower ERA, what, 267?
Yeah, 267 ERA, a 122 whip. Those don't quite jive together, but the 122 whip and the 574 xERA don't jive together either. Mm-hmm. I definitely think there's regression coming. He just can't be this good. He gives up, you know, a fair amount of zone contact, and he's in the zone a fair amount as well. He does not really get swings and misses, generally speaking, but people don't go outside the zone on him. I think there's gonna be some regression, maybe not to the 574 level, but not the level that you want to really roll with, especially with a Kansas City start. I think, again, this is like in a 15, you're probably rolling with him because there aren't very many other options. But
yeah,
I'm probably not using Colin Ray in a 12.
I think I'm just going to find other players. I mean, guys that we've already talked about, like Logan Allen, if he's available. Probably either Angel. Yeah, even I think I'd rather Sandoval than Ray. I think he has more upside. More downside, too.
I think it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the upside, I think Sandoval is the guy. If you're looking for a little bit safer floor, especially in the whip department.
Yeah,
Ray is probably the guy. Or if you're win seeking, like, Milwaukee's playing really well.
They're good. They've been good. Yeah.
Like, that's a good point. They could sneak a W way easier than I think the Angels can right now.
Totally agree. What about Simeon Woods Richardson out in Minnesota? He gets Seattle and at Toronto. He's been putting up a great ERA through three starts, 2.45. But it comes with a 1.36 whip. So you talk about how an ERA and whip don't jive together. this is the case here. Are we confident enough? And I guess the concerning part there with Simeon Woods Richardson is that it's been Detroit and the White Sox twice. So that explains why the ERA has been so good. Better teams probably would have taken advantage of the 16 hits and four walks and 14 and two thirds. Are Seattle and Toronto those teams that that you know pop some regression onto Simeon Woods Richardson?
They definitely could be. He's allowing just an insane amount of contact, and this is why the WHIP is so high. Because great, because the walk rate isn't like bad. I mean, he's got a 6% walk rate. The walk rate's fine. Like, it's exactly what you want him to do. But he's filling up the zone. He's allowing teams to make contact him. And what happened last game is he just got BABIPed to death. So
yeah, he's running a 348 mark. Woods Richardson is. That's pretty high.
You think BABIP that should regress? His BABIP the last two starts have been 438 and 467. Oof.
So do we think he's causing that by living in the zone? You know, because there is part of it that maybe he's doing by living in the zone, like you're saying.
This is the inverse of what I talk about with hitters, right? Like, I love the guys who are hitters that just make a lot of in-zone contact because it gives them the opportunity to be lucky.
Exactly.
When pitchers allow this level of contact, it gives them the opportunity to get unlucky. Look at Miles Mikolas. Like, Miles Mikolas, he can be a really effective pitcher, but if balls are finding holes, if the defense isn't great behind you, and I don't think the defense behind Simeon Woods Richardson is, it actually is pretty good. You got it's Correa, not bad, right? And yeah. So, I mean,
it's you got pretty... Well, you got Julian at second, who's like meh, but Castro at third, I think, is a decent defender. It's decent,
and Correa is a good defender.
Yeah.
At short.
So it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. That being said, like, there are going to be like really frustrating moments with a guy like Simeon Woods Richardson, and he's really young. So like that always adds to, there are going to be moments that are really frustrating, right? Like any moments where like, he looks like he's pitching great. I think in a 15 again, I think this is another one in a 15, you're probably starting.
Yeah.
And in a 10 and 12, I don't think I would.
I think 12 is on the table.
I think, but only again, if
depends
you're
who's available.
Would you rather start Simeon Woods Richardson or would you rather start Tyler Anderson? I think I go Anderson.
I would go Anderson. Yep.
What about Sandoval? I'm going Simeon Woods Richardson there.
I probably am too. God, I love Sandy, but that whip,
underscoring. You're starting to feel a little different about him, huh?
That whip, it pounds you, dude. It really, really stings. Little Bailey Ober check-in. This is for shallow leagues, 15s, you're starting him. 12s, I think you're pretty easily starting him, too. 4.55 ERA, but a 1.04 whip. Kind of classic Ober right now. We were on the train that the ERA is going to be way down. He's finally going to match, you know, or not finally. He had a 3.43 ERA last year. I don't know what the hell I'm saying, finally. But we thought, you know, full season of great ERA and whip still can be. This is six starts, and it's not even a crazy home run rate. That's kind of the weird part, because you would expect me to be like, oh, he's got a 1.5 homer nine. That's why his ERA is so high. No, it's really that eight earned run outing against KC still doing damage. 2.37 since then. So is it a case of like
three homer per nine since then?
Yeah, one homer after allowing three at KC. So is it just a case of that bad opener is lingering on his ERA and we should have zero issues with Ober?
Yeah, he's a must start. Like, yeah,
just making sure that we're on the same page there.
I won't even write up update. He'll go in that must start here. That is like Bailey Ober is him. He just had that one first bad start that is making like, so if
this is why we do game logging, because you got to see this.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you were in a league where someone has Bailey Ober, like it may, you may have missed your time to go get him, but go get him. Like
If you could, I'd pay full market rate, let alone the fact that I might get a discount, and I'd take any shred of a discount. Because people might see the 4.55 ERA and be like, oh man, I don't know. No, it's an amazing whip. ERA is amazing since the bad outing. We knew he'd be fine.
24% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate.
Everything's in check.
The homers are in check. Yeah, everything's great.
figured that's where you would be, but just want to make sure and calm anybody down that was like maybe a little irked by the ERA. I put Luis Gil on here. This is for shallow leagues as well. I think 15s, you're starting him. It's a 3.19 ERA, 1.19 whip. Not too bad. Walk rate's up there, though, 15%. And so it does put both of those in some danger if things start to, you know, break against him. He had the one bad start against Milwaukee, gave up 5. Other than that, he's been good, and he bounced back brilliantly with a start in Baltimore. 6 1/3, scoreless with 2 hits, a walk, 5 Ks. I love that for Luis Gil. Houston and at Tampa Bay, is this a 10-team start? Is he just kind of locked in the lineup right now? Where are you at on Luis Gil 6 starts in?
I mean, a 10-team, you're always going to just put out your best 9 guys or your best 7 starters, whatever you're doing. And so there are going to be 10-team leagues in which you're not starting Luis Gil, but he's going in the should start tier. Like, I think he is a guy that you should be starting every week. You look at what he's done over these last 3 starts, 2.65 ERA, you know, home run rate pretty much right around 1. A strikeout rate of 29%, or a walk rate around 9%. So a little maybe higher walk rate than you want, but like not super bad. Yeah, the BABIP's a little low. The numbers are probably going to come up, but this is like a mid-3s, maybe even a low-3s ERA pitcher with strikeouts. And the most important thing is we're seeing him go deep enough into the game consistently to get W's. He went 6 1/3 in his last start, 5 before that, 5 2/3 before that. Yankees are good. I don't know how long he'll last because he always has injury issues, but that is a problem for July, August, something like that.
Yep. Don't get too hung up on that right now. Focus on the here and now with Luis Gil. Take the innings while you're getting them. Totally agree with you there. And I'm starting him everywhere. I love him. Just kind of one of those ones where I want to check in, make sure that I'm not just overrating my guy, but we're in lockstep. What about Mitch Keller? 2 home starts, Angels and Cubs. He's been up and down. Are you getting there with him? Are you still riding the Mitch Keller train right now? Because I'm looking for a route off. I don't know. I'm not feeling great. 5.18 ERA, 1.48 whip. It's been shaky. Is there enough here where you're sticking with Mitch Keller? I think this is one of those, if you're not starting him in a 2-step, you really have to decide if he belongs on the team anymore. What say you of Mitch Keller?
Especially with the Chatless Angels coming to town. Yeah. Both these starts, I believe, are at home, which is a great park to pitch in. Like, this is the Mitch Keller experience, people. Like, this is and one of the reasons why I don't draft him. Like, I think you're probably continuing to roll with him if he was a guy that you liked preseason, because he's really not doing anything that different than he normally does. It's a 3.96 xFIP. Strikeout rate is just about a strikeout an inning. Home run rate isn't like super elevated or anything. He's just a guy that sometimes, when he does not have all of his stuff, gets hit around a little bit. But you're going to volume strikeouts. The strikeout rate the last 2 starts were right back to kind of where Mitch Keller levels are. So that drop off in strikeouts we had all of a sudden, like, I'm not super worried about that. He's a volume guy that may hurt your ratios a little bit, but that's what you signed up for. Like,
true.
I don't know, especially in a 15, but even in a 12, like, I don't know where you're going to find the volume of strikeouts you get from Mitch Keller off the wire, unless you're just going to constantly churn. And you can constantly churn, but, you know, some of us don't love constantly churning. So.
No, and that's, you know, there's trepidation with that too, that that can be scary. So, no, I'm totally with you. I think you really have to be careful here with Mitch Keller. Like, I get it in the deeper leagues. But man, I'm just frustrated. I hear you with the you signed up for it though, right? I talk about that with
Hunter Green
and Nick Lodolo, right? Like, you signed up for this, you got to ride the ride. Now, that's a high end version of this, but Mitch Keller is kind of like the 15 team version where it's like, you got to kind of see where it's going.
I do want to remind people, like, in a 10 team, especially, you don't have to ride the ride. Like, in a
10 team,
even in a 12 team, like, you don't have to ride the ride, but you're probably going to have to churn, and that's up to you to be able to say to yourself. And one of the reasons why, like, I don't love, like, having to churn constantly. Same. And so, one, that's especially one of the reasons I play a lot of 15s. But two, that's why I don't draft guys like Mitch Keller in 10s and 12s, because like I don't want to have to like, oh man, am I dropping this guy this week so I can pick up a different guy? Like, I don't want to have to make that decision.
Yep. No, it can be a pain in the ass. And you want to try to mitigate super difficult decisions as much as you can. That's, you know, that's why I was griping about saves. I wish I just had saves. Nope. Got to go fight for them. Miles Michaelis, you mentioned him earlier, not in a terribly positive context. He gets the Mets and at Milwaukee. I mean, he's just, he's putting everybody on base. But is there anything here with Michaelis? Can you get there even in a 15? There certainly isn't really anything in the surface numbers. Is there anything below the surface that makes you interested in Michaelis, or is he just a full stay away?
Oh, no, I think he's kind of a full stay away. He just allows so much contact. And for the first time in pretty much his career, like he's also like giving up home runs at a rate that we're not used to seeing. And you added the fact the Cardinals are not the team we thought they were.
Support won't be there. Yep.
So you're telling me a guy who, you know, puts too many balls in play, doesn't strike guys out, doesn't have a lot of run support to win games. Yeah, this is a no-go for me. This is NL only territory.
This is perfect. His game log right now for Miles Michaelis is a perfect encapsulation of the risk you're dealing with. Three starts of two earned runs, three starts of five earned runs, and then a baseline quality start, six innings, three runs at Detroit. Like, you're probably going to get one up, one down here. And is it worth it? No, because usually the down starts erase the modest good starts, right? So if you get a 6-3, but then it comes with a 4 2/3, 5, it's a bad week unless he, you know, at least won the other one. So no, I'm not with it with Michaelis. I just don't think the upside is there. Tyler Alexander's a guy that for the Rays that I have rostered and found some intrigue with, but He was pretty modest this week, and I was hoping for a little bit more. Milwaukee, a good team. We've talked about that. But four innings, three runs. The problem is he's really limited. He has a 6 and a couple fives, but he really lives on that line there where he has to be super pitch efficient to get there. And so you're dealing with a lot of potential four inning starts. Is White Sox Yankees both at home? Is the White Sox one and the fact that both are at home enough to take on that Yankees start with Tyler Alexander?
No.
Just like, not doing just enough. No. Too many homers.
Too many homers. Like, it just
has not a homer in his last three. I will point out 2-2-1 in his first three starts, and then three straight zeros. So
he's still averaging like 50%+ fly ball percentage, and now you got the Yankees coming to town. Like, yeah, no thanks. I just, if it was White Sox, Rockies at home, like maybe we'd be having a conversation. But like, even like the last two starts, he's only gone four innings.
And that's so the scary part.
They're not letting him turn over the lineup enough where, you know, it is the Rays who tend to not want guys to turn over a lineup a third time. So I just, and the Rays are playing like garbage. Like,
I mean, that's the thing too. Where's the
sorry, Jason, I should have said earmuffs, but yeah, they're just, he'll say it before I will. Like he's more critical of his team than I am. They're playing like garbage. Like there's no world in which I'm starting Tyler Alexander.
And frankly, he's cuttable if you do have him. Like I said, I picked him up for the Detroit start and to kind of have as a reserve guy in case he was their next big find. But yeah, I'm moving off of that.
At least he didn't murder you for the Detroit.
No,
like it wasn't great or anything, but like at least it wasn't like a four inning drubbing.
Exactly, and that's kind of on the table with Tyler Alexander, especially with that New York start, and that's the one that really scares me. So be careful there with Tyler Alexander. Our last guy is really intriguing because, first off, he's one of your faves. It's Andrew Heaney. He's coming off a gem, 7 innings, 1 run against Washington. And you could not get a more disparate two-step. Trip to Oakland. Yes, I'm in. Oh, yeah, don't say anything else. I'm totally in. Okay, but the other one's at Colorado. Oh, shit, that's literally the worst thing possible. Can you get there with your boy Andrew Heaney?
I mean, I wish I wasn't afraid of copyright infringement because right now I'd just be playing like Sarah McLachlan in the background. Like, Like, I love it. I have always loved Andrew Heaney.
You do.
I will always love Andrew Heaney. But like, while this may seem like, hey, you've got an amazing start and a really scary start, the Oakland one, actually, for a guy like Andrew Heaney, isn't an amazing start. Oakland's sixth in the majors in home runs. Someone in the Discord pointed this out, that they are actually like
sneaky.
Yeah, like the, if you go by WRC plus, Oakland is the 24th team. So, okay, you know, a bottom six team. But if you go by home runs, they've got the sixth most home runs. Like, they're tied with Houston right now for home runs. Like,
that's impressive.
So, like, what's Andrew Heaney's problem?
Always bombs.
Always home runs. Always home runs. Like, no thanks. I'm, you know, like, and then you got to go to Colorado. No thanks. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this one.
And this, so don't be lured in by the at Oak.
Yeah, this will be like one of those Matty Davis like bad outings. Like there are gonna be people like, look, he just went seven and was great, you know. And they're gonna put, oh, it's an Oakland. I know we gotta survive the Colorado one, but when Oakland, and like
when he dominates Oakland, we can live in Colorado. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. No. Andrew.
I would bet money, because I bet the odds are pretty damn good that he has a worse start in Oakland than he does in Colorado.
That would be nuts.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, but like, yeah, like, is it a Monday or a Tuesday start?
Let's see. The Oakland one is Monday against Alex Wood.
Okay. So we won't be doing the DFS contest for the sleeper in the bus, but I will throw a DFS Oakland stack.
Just
like to stack some righties,
yeah,
on like, and just
give me some Brent Rooker,
you know. I've always loved Andrew Heaney. I'm never going to like fully quit. Actually, I did kind of fully quit the dude, but
yeah, I was gonna say you kind of did.
My heart will never fully quit the dude,
yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't think this is as good of a two step, or at least front half of two step, as other people are going to think it is.
That's a great call out there with Oakland. And you know, the park,
shout out to whoever like said it in the Discord.
That's
like,
crazy. I did not realize that. You know, their park is obviously still nice to pitch in, but they can hit bombs there too. Like, they're not just hitting all these on the road. And like we've been saying, you know, they're just going to be a regular bad team this year. I don't think they're going to be heinous 100 plus losses. They're just going to be standard bad.
If you sort by handedness, they've actually hit the second most home runs against left-handed pitching.
Oh, wow. So it's even worse. Yeah. This is just not the right setup for Andrew Heaney, especially with Colorado lurking. Cause if he can't take care of Oakland, then, you know, you're just beyond panicked with the Colorado one lurking. So no, we're not in on that. So it's an interesting week. There's some guys out there for sure. But it's mostly, I wouldn't go crazy with the streams, because I think there's some real danger out there too. I'll be looking for my juicier one starts than I would be trying to get in on a lot of the two start action. So, all right, Justin, well, a little bit of a quicker one there. We got through that in under an hour, but what do you got coming up this weekend? Are you and Jason going to talk about those Rays?
I believe we are going to talk on Sunday. I don't have a guest lined up, but maybe I will get one. But we should be able to chat this weekend. And then, I think I'm going to be watching some T-ball. I'm going on a lamplight tour of the local cemetery tonight.
Okay, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like spooky stories. Cool. We did something like it's similar back in September, and this is like a different version of it. The last one was really, really cool. It was actually like actors out in the graveyard.
Oh, that's neat.
Like acting out scenes of like local history and stuff like that.
That's really cool. That sounds great. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And then watching some T-ball on Saturday and watching baseball. Right. So hopefully a little relaxing weekend, doing some fun things.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I'll actually be out in your neck of the woods next week. Well, not quite. I don't mean to get your hopes up there. Sorry, I'll be in San Diego, but I'll be in California.
Oh, that's not my neck of the woods.
I know. Relative to the country, it is. That's why as soon as I said it, I was like, wait a minute. I'm making him think that I'm going to be closer than I am. But anyway, Justin, we will talk on Monday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Until then, peace.
Take it easy.